The response is from Psalm 103, and I invite you, it's also in your bulletin, and please respond in the bold print there or on the screen as you are able. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger.
He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word and your response. Please be seated. Thank you for helping me preach today and throughout this sermon meditation, if you will, as we look at Psalm 103. I'm going to have you repeat back some of these phrases again as we expound on at least the first part of Psalm 103, great psalm of thanksgiving and praise. So right at the start in verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's say that together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now when we think about blessing, it implies or means praise, a strong affection for God, a sense of gratitude. And the word implies here a wish that there would be a blessing, there would be peace and joy and happiness. We say blessings over our families, our children. We say blessing over our homes. We say blessing over our meals when we eat them. We pray blessings over our automobiles and transportation. I mean, think of all the things and ways in which we bless. And of course, in the South in particular, we use that word, God bless her, God bless him. We say that all the time. It's almost like a greeting, really. And I sign a lot of the documents that I have or newsletters that I'll put out, blessings, Bill. But what we're ascribing here is a blessing to God, honor and glory to God. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the next part is a little bit more inclusive here with this. He says, all that is within me, bless the Lord. So say that with me. All that is within me, bless the Lord. That kind of reminds me a parallel here of the greatest commandment, or the two greatest commandments. You remember them. The first one, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God entirely. Is there anything left out in that? Nothing, right? We're loving God with every fiber of our being, not just with our mind, not just with our heart, but with our strength as well, every part of who we are. Similarly to that, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, and he says, with everything that we do, do all things to the glory of God, to praise God, or in other words, to bless God. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 31. And that covers, friends, that covers every activity of our lives. Whether we're at work, whether we're at rest or on vacation, whether we're studying, whether we're with our family, whether we're alone, whatever the situation might be, whatever the activity might be, we are moving toward blessing God, giving praise to God with that activity. It is as if to say, well, if we ask the question, does this activity really bless the Lord? Does this activity really honor God? That's a great question to ask ourselves. If we're in doubt about something that we're doing, some activity or event, and it does not bless the Lord, then maybe, or honor the Lord, or glorify the Lord, then maybe we need to think differently about that and not engage in that activity as the case may be. So this blessing of God and blessing of the Lord with all of our being is also more than just what happens on Sunday morning. We emphasize in the church, and has been through tradition and through church history and from Jesus forward, emphasizing having a daily devotional. Our private worship during the week leads up to the culmination of public worship that we're experiencing today. And it's really kind of an overflow. I've heard some people say, well, we come to church to be filled. And that's true to a certain extent. But I like to think of it as like we're coming to church, we're full, and we're overflowing even as we come to worship. Through the week, the activities that we've engaged in privately in our private worship of God, that comes with us as we come to public worship. So then there's a culmination, an overflow of the blessing of God. Now, when we think about this, too, is to say, I kind of see that as like a shower, having a shower every day. When we engage in God's Word and in private worship and prayer and devotion. What happens when we go 2 or 3 days without a shower? Things get a little stinky, right? Or a little stanky, as we would say today. When we think about this in our spiritual lives, we go through days, and without that daily worship of God, without this daily encounter and worship of God, life happenings, worries, problems, frustrations begin to take over in our lives, and we lose perspective very quickly. So we need this private worship on a daily basis in all our ways, in all our activities. And also with this, when it comes to worship as well, the other part is that when we're worshiping, we're all in. We're all in. God is the true focus of what we're about in worship. And certainly in reality, I know that there are many things happening in our lives in the context of the week before we come to worship. So many things may be on our minds that may be difficult. And we don't always check those things when we come through these doors. That's reality. And I understand the reality of that. But it is to say, too, that when we're in worship, and when worship is right as it should be, as the psalmist says here, we're all in. We're focusing solely upon the Lord, the goodness and the greatness of God. And in those moments, whenever we are in worship, it's a stress-free experience. Anxiety-free experience, a problem-free experience. And I think that's one of the beauties of worship. I see kind of a shadow of this even in secular events. What do you really enjoy doing in your life? For some, it may be art or music. For others, it may be gardening or crafts. For others, it may be outdoor activities, sports, hobbies that you engage in. Why do we enjoy doing those things? And I think one of the reasons why we enjoy doing those things is that it's free. Our mind is free when we're engaging in those activities that we enjoy. For many years, I ran up and down a basketball court, playing intramural sports, particularly in basketball. I enjoyed it because, one, it helped me stay in shape. Sure, I missed that. The other is that whenever I was engaging in that activity, my mind was totally free. I wasn't worrying about finances or school or parenting or the next big decision I had to make. I wasn't worried about any of those things. It was a few moments where there was total freedom from my worries and anxieties and frustrations and those things that I certainly was dealing with at that time in my life. When I think about that too, when it comes to worship, this is even on a grander scale. When we come into this place, yes, issues are still going on in our personal lives. Issues are still going on in the community, in the nation, in the world. And those issues are not going away simply because we're here. And we're going back into them when we leave this place. But worship, and the beauty of worship, and I think what the psalmist is talking about here, is when we really bless God, when the full focus of our attention is on the Lord, great things happen. And I think that's why worship is renewing and refreshing and regenerating for us when we're all in worship. Sadly, we can go through an entire worship service, go through all the parts of worship, liturgy, every part of it, and may still not really worship God to be all in. But if we're giving our all in worship, I believe that's when transformation can happen. Change can take place in these moments. Maybe the events that we're faced with in life may not go away and they may still be there. But guess what? When we meet God in this place, when we're all in worship, when we're really focused on God and the greatness of God, it changes. It can change our mind. It can change our perspective. It can change our attitude. And it can change our hearts. In this experience of worship and focusing on the Lord. So when we go back out and we face those realities, we face them in a different mindset, with a different attitude and with a different heart. We're all in worship. And the psalmist says, one of the reasons why we're all in here and speaking about the goodness and greatness of God, we're blessing God because of what God has done for us. And the first thing that he starts off with here is forgetting not all his benefits. Say that with me. And forget not all his benefits. I like what commentator Adam Barnes says about this. It refers not to those favors in the aggregate, but is a call to remember them in particular. And that is, as we sang that song, Count Your Blessings. Well, the line in that song was, name them one by one. Name them one by one. And what the psalmist is talking about here is not just blessing God for all God has done for us in the aggregate, but he's really saying, let's bless God as we think particularly what God has done for us. Let's enumerate them. And one of the first things he says here, of course, is the forgiveness of our sins. But as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a little boy who was saying the blessing over the meal. And he didn't say the traditional prayer, Lord, thank you for this food. May it strengthen us for your service. Amen. No. He said, thank you, Lord, for the turkey. Thank you, Lord, for the dressing. Thank you, Lord, for the cranberry sauce. Thank you, Lord, for the mashed potatoes. Thank you, Lord, for the dressing. Thank you, Lord, for the squash casserole. Thank you, Lord, for the pumpkin pie and the whipped cream. He was specifically praying for everything he was eating that day. I don't know if they ever got to lunch or not, but he was praying for everything. So this is talking about, again, enumerating our blessings, not forgetting. Not forgetting. How many benefits or blessings are enumerated here? How many blessings do we know? We probably couldn't count them all. I've discovered that memory is a funny thing because we tend to remember the things we need to forget and we forget the things that we need to remember. I don't know if you have that issue or not, but it's true in my life. And very often the orientation of the human mind is we tend to focus more on our mistakes and our errors or where things went wrong. And even sociologists have done studies that prove the orientation of the mind focuses on more on what went wrong than what went right. Or we focus more on what we do not have than what we do have. And then financially, when you think about this, when we're comparing ourselves with others, we're always comparing ourselves with people who have more, not with people who have less. Again, back to the Count Your Blessings song, it moves us away from how we normally think or how we might forget, to recalling the blessings of God. And first and foremost in this psalm, as we recount the blessings of God, has to do with the forgiveness of our sins. Who forgives all your sins, say that with me, who forgives all of your sins. Later in this psalm, it says that God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, meaning that they're scattered so far apart they can never come back together again. It's like they're disintegrating. In Micah, he says, he places our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. But it's the enemy that will try to accuse us and bring those things back to our mind. Those are the things we need to forget. I think it's important also to realize here that this starts with the spiritual. Jesus said in the gospel, seek the kingdom of God first. The Lord's Prayer that we pray today and almost every Sunday, it starts off with, how does it start? Our Father, who art in heaven. Holy is your name. Blessing the Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the start of this. It's where the psalmist starts. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he says, who forgives all our sins. The crowning point of this, of course, comes through Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the sacrifice, the atonement offering, comes through Christ, the shedding of his blood for us. We celebrate that today in Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. Here is where we're remembering. We're remembering. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering, not forgetting, how our forgiveness was brought about. You know, the original language, the word for thanksgiving is Eucharistos, which really means to be grateful. Many of you may have already made that connection with Eucharistos and Holy Communion. It's the Eucharist. In a lot of church traditions, it's actually called the Eucharist. And right at the center of the Eucharist, as we partake of this today, the great thanksgiving that I will read in just a few moments. And the centerpiece of this is Christ's body given for you, Christ's blood shed for you. That is blessing God and remembering the sacrifice of Christ that was made for us, for all of us, for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, we give thanks to God and we bless God because of this Holy Eucharist, this Thanksgiving meal that we share, which at its centerpiece is the sacrifice of Christ for us, his body given for us, his blood shed for us. I was reading an interesting article from a psychologist talked about what really brings us soul satisfaction. And the article quoted a Michigan psychologist. And here's what he said. Forgiveness is a trait most likely linked to happiness and fulfillment. Forgiveness. It is the queen of all virtues and probably the hardest to come by. As I reflected over that, here is a secular psychologist talking about forgiveness, affirming what the scriptures already say to us. They're discovering the truth that's already in God's holy word. And the psalmist is reflecting here the centerpiece of our Christian faith, the forgiveness of our sins, being reconciled to God, that we might extend God's love and forgiveness to others. We're blessing the Lord, all that is within us. We're forgetting not all of his benefits. And right at the first of that, who forgives all your sins. And then the latter part of this is, he satisfies our life with good things. Say that with me. He satisfies our life with good things. Now, you may notice here that I skipped over a part that says who heals all your diseases. And I want to comment on that for just a moment. Not everybody receives or gets immediate or miraculous healing in their life. Some may be wondering about this statement in this psalm. Sometimes healing comes in resurrection. Sometimes healing comes in receiving a glorified body. But as it is, however God may choose to heal, whether through surgeries, medicines, therapies, whatever it may be, healing ultimately comes from God. God is a true source of healing. Medicines can be given, surgeries can be performed, those things can happen, but they do not heal us. It is God who heals. And God will heal all our diseases, thanks be to God. If not in this life, in the life to come. So this is a double blessing here. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, we remember how God has worked in our lives to bring about forgiveness of our sins and right relationship with God. And then beyond that, the physical blessings, material blessings that we know in our life that God has poured out into our lives. But so often, we can get distracted. We can get so caught up in the problem or the issue that we forget the one who is the source of every spiritual and physical blessing in our lives. This psalm starts out with blessing the Lord, O my soul. How does it end? The same way. The same way. Praising God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I think there's a pattern here to say we can begin every day in our lives praying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And when we lie down at night, the same expression, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, and forget not all His benefits. As we come to Holy Communion today, I pray that would be in our minds and our hearts, our spirit today, as we think about remembering, do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. Lord, we truly give you thanks and praise this day. We pray that through the word of the psalm today, it would stir up within each of us a remembrance. Whatever we may be going through in our lives, whatever struggles we may be facing, whatever issues we're dealing with, we're remembering. And Lord, we're blessing you. We're giving thanks to you. And God, we're coming today with thanksgiving in our hearts because of the offering of Christ for us and this holy meal. Let us truly prepare our hearts and minds as we come with praise and thanksgiving today to celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.